This week's Parsha Chayei Sarah begins with the death of Sarah and Avram coming to give Sarah a hesped, a eulogy, and then finding a burial spot and burying her in Maris HaMachpelah with the other, or eventually with the other Rebbes, and the four peers were eventually buried there. So the Gemara has an interesting discussion in Sanhedrin on the regarding the Indian of a hesped, regarding the Indian of a eulogy. The Gemara wants to know about a hesped, for whose benefit is a hesped given for? What do you mean whose benefit? What are the choices? Is hesped what we'll call kavod achai, or is it kavod hames? Is the purpose of the eulogy to give honor to the dead, and now you giving him kavod, you're speaking about him? Oh no. The main purpose of the eulogy is kavod achai. It's honor to the living that. How does it look that we want to remember him and we want to give kavod to the living people in terms of how much they got out of it? So, that's the issue in the Gemara. That's the issue in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Whether it's kavod achai or kavod hames. Why nafkamina? What's the difference if it's kavod achai or kavod? What's the difference if the eulogy is for the living people or is it for the dead? So the obvious nafkamina is: can a mace be mocho? Can a mace forego his honor? So if it's kavod hames, he has the right to forego his honor. If it's kavod achai, he has no right. So, and the Gemara even gets on then, and the Gemara gets another nafkamina, who's chayef to pay? During those days, they had someone for the hesped. But who would be chayef to get the woman who would be singing to maorer, get people to cry? So, again, if it's for the living, so the living have to pay for it. If it's for the dead, the kavod could come out of the Yerusha, out of the inheritance. In fact, someone to bring a raya from Shaul that regarding this whole issue of if hesped is kavod achai, kavod hames, we know that Kaiso were punished because they didn't eulogize Shaul properly. So, if eulogy is kavod achai, so then what's the problem? It's their own choice. However, then it must be kavod hames, and since they didn't do it, they were punished. You could be docha the raya. Because over here we're talking about a king, so a king maybe we're not doing a eulogy, it's bizayir hames. So too, if you're a big talmud chacham, so therefore it'd be a bizayir not to do it, so you go ahead and do it. Like the story with Tamei Yoshua said, he left in his savah, I don't want a eulogy, but the Nozim Yehuda said, he's the God of Hador, I'm the Masper anyway. So halacha maisa, then in that case, we don't talk about him, but we talk about our watch. This hesped and beth, we will list everything, you know, that all the focus on what we lost, the fact that he's not around. The minhag among Hasidim is not to have a spadim at all, because we talk too much about other things. People use hespedim to talk about themselves and other issues. As the Kutzker said very sharply, Hasidim are a makbid to give a eulogy because a mace is also bahana. People like using the mace for their own benefit. So, so we see it's a discussion whether eulogies is covered or chai covered on mace. And nafkamina is, does the mace have a right beforehand to say he doesn't want a eulogy? So, with maskana we pass and it's covered on mace, and you could cancel the eulogy, but except if you're gadol ador, so then perhaps maybe not if you're the king like Shaul. We find a similar halacha regarding kfura also. The Chazan is raises the issue. So the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra that Yehoshua conquered Eretz Yisrael and made many takanas. And one of them was Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael, Meis Mitzvah Kona Mekomo. Meis Mitzvah acquires its spot. There's a Maisa with Rabbi Akiva. He found the Meis Mitzvah on the road and he carried it 3 miles to a cemetery for a proper burial. And then Rabbi Akiva told his Rebbeim what he did. He thought they'd be in heaven, they'd love it. But no, they trashed him. They said, "What are you doing? Every step was an Aveira." Why? Because Tosfos Megillah says, Meis Mitzvah Kona Makomo. You should have left it there. So the Chazon Ish clears the Chakira. What's Pshat Meis Mitzvah Kona Makomo? It's a takana for the benefit of the dead body. That's one pshat takanas for the mace. If I am giving Eretz Yisrael over to the shvatim, and every mace has a place to be buried. So it's for the tovas ha-mace. Or do I say no? It's the tovas ha-chayim. They'd be fighting who should give up the land. So we have a rule where you, wherever you find it, you put it. My nafkamina, if it's the tovas ha-mace or the tovas ha-chayim. If it's out covered achayim, avoiding fight, so then you must bury him on the spot. It's a chiyav out covered achayim. If it's a tovas hameis, it's a rishus to bury him there. But if you want to take him out to a more appropriate spot, it's okay. So chazan is crazy. It's a machlokas within the Bali Tosfos. Why? Because you know Rabbi Akiva was rebuked for 3 miles. Why? So Tosfos Megillah says, because Meis Mitzvah Kona Makomo, you have to bury him there. It's Mashma Altsus Tova Sachayim. However, Tosfos and Ksuvas and Lev Yudzayin write, Rabbi Akiva, you did wrong out Spittul Torah, meaning his Madrega was Spittul Torah. Not that, of course, you're allowed to bury a dead takes precedence over Torah, but there was the extra walking. He could have buried the body right on the spot. But his Madrega was out Spittul Torah. But what are the implications from Tosfos and Ksuvas? If it's not out Spittul Torah, it'd be mutter to bury him elsewhere. So that seems to be working with Kavod HaMeis. So that issue, whether it's Ketovas HaMeis or Ketovas HaChai, would make a difference whether it's a Chova, the Shalach HaMeis, Mitzvah Kono Mekomo, or if it's a Rishith. So, in 1948... after the war, this is a major shaila, because many soldiers were buried on the spot. Obviously, what choice do you have? It's Meis Mitzvah. You had no choice. You had to bury them on the spot. So the issue was, can you exhume the body and move it to a proper Beis HaKfaros? Or do I say Meis Mitzvah Kona Makomo? So the Chazon Ish said, it's mutter to exhume the body, implying it's Letovas HaMeis, right? And the Rav Bright, the Chelkis Yaakov, he says, Meis Mitzvah, Kona Makomo, Dafka there, you have to bury them there. So he says, if you have to bury them there, L'chadchila, so Kol Shechet, it's also to exhume the body. So the Chazon Ish answered back, no, during the war, Meis Mitzvah, Kona Makomo. But now the war is over and the family is there. There's no longer din of Meis Mitzvah anymore. So lechatchila, you bury the soldiers. So lechatchila, you bury the soldiers al tanai. And then after the war, you bring them back to the Beis HaKfaros. Right? You follow that? And then there's another halacha regarding kfura that you're not supposed to bury a tzaddik
Eitel Rasha. You're not supposed to bury a righteous person near a wicked person. In fact, that you can't even among the wicked people, there are different levels of cemeteries. Depending on how bad the crime was, that would depend on what cemetery you got. If you did an Avera, then you're supposed to skila or a Srefa. The whole works there. A lot of it depended on that. But, so for sure, Ein Kovrim Tzadik, Eitel Rasha, but to Shaila, even about covering a Russia next door, Russia. So they discuss Avadji Yosef has in his one of his shaylas, it was a Maaseh Shehaya. Real life. That what happens if a tzaddik is buried Eitel Rasha? Do we exhume the body or not? So the case was, there was a city in Israel, I think it was Rishon LeZion. A Gentile woman was buried in the cemetery. For some reason, the Supreme Court ruled you're not allowed to take them out. It's not clear, maybe it wasn't clear if she was a Gentile or not. Maybe she was converted. But so they asked Avadji Yosef, the Supreme Court said, we can't move the body. But should we move our own relatives? Because Ein Kovrim Tzadik Eitel Rasha. And it's a lucky you can't bury a guy next to a Jew. So therefore, what should you do? So the Chasam Sofer, so the Avadji Yosef calls on the Chasam Sofer that you remove the body. And he brings a raya from the Marish Engel that when you are buried the Isser, it's like being buried Bitanai. And therefore, since you are buried in a case where it's prohibited, it's like being buried Bitanai. When you bury someone on Tanai, and later on you're gonna be buried later. So therefore, it's okay. And Rav Shlomo Eger says, don't exhume the body. Because he says, the Lashon HaGemara is Ein Kovrim Tzadik, the Lashon L'chatchila. But b'di'evit, it's okay. And Chalkas Yaakov said, we don't exhume the body. So it seems to be a machlokas achronim. And it seems to be also the Chasam Sofer in a different tshuva seems to be machmir. So what's in the kud here? Whether you are allowed to move a body out the lach of Tzadik Eitel Rasha. So perhaps we can reconcile it based on the following. It depends on who was buried first. If the Rasha was buried first and then the Tzadik was buried there, so the tzaddik is buried be iser, so therefore it's like al tanai, and therefore you could exhume the body. But if the kohen was buried first, if the tzaddik was buried first, and then the rasha, so then you leave the body and don't exhume it because it was since it was done beheter, so therefore you don't have to worry. You follow that? Everyone with me or not? So we see that's the issue regarding eulogy, the locha mesa mitzvah kona makomo. Is it letovas chayim or letovas hames? I also will have to continue next time, but the same issue is regarding kfura, the Gemara Sanhedrin raises. Whose benefit is kfura for? Again, is that it's covered hames or is that it's covered achai? We'll have to continue on that nakuda, okay?